it's a really good anatomical way to relate to the energies. And the feminine, think of water. Water is flow. It can be soft. It's running. It's malleable. It moves around things. It engulfs things. But it is also fierce AF. I mean, it's carved out mountains. It knocks down towns. It can demolish. It can be highly destructive. Like, And it wears over time. It wears pathways. And it always, always finds its way.
My name is Will, and I, like Mulder from The X-Files, want to believe. So I've embarked on a journey of discovery. I've talked to people deeply entrenched in the spiritual world. I've thrown myself into weird and wonderful experiences. I've even joined a coven of witches, all in the interest of finding something, anything, that will prove that there's something beyond this physical three-dimensional world we all live in. This is The Skeptic Metaphysician. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of The Skeptic Metaphysician. Today, we're going to be talking about women and their power as goddesses. Now, to help me broach the topic of goddess power is a very special guest, one that I've gotten to know over the last few weeks and hope to now forever remain in contact with because she's quickly become one of my favorite people on the planet, and I'm sure she'll become one of yours as well. According to her Wikipedia page, she is, get this, an American producer, an entrepreneur, and an online content and development executive. She's best known as the founder and CEO of Comedy Gives Back, a global multi-platform live-streamed stand-up comedy event and benefit. She began her acting career at Second City, a comedy troupe in Chicago, and could probably name drop the living daylights out of some unbelievably famous people like Madonna, but you didn't hear it from me. But aside from her comedy and entertainment ventures, my guest is also a powerhouse entrepreneur and evocator. I don't know if that's the right way to say it, but she trains Olympic athletes, frontline workers, CEOs, moms, all how to live out their purpose with emotional intelligence, love, and abundance. Look, I could go on and on and on about this remarkable woman, but I'm just too excited to get to talk to her. So it's my absolute pleasure to welcome Amber J. Lawson to the show. Amber J., welcome.
Is that the lather round?
The crowd goes wild.
Yes, everybody's nuts. Yay.
Yeah.
Hello, Will. What an introduction. Woo.
Well, you know, I like to give as much information about my guests as possible at the top. And there was just too much about you. I found too much to share. And first and foremost, I invite anyone who is really curious about all the other things I didn't mention to go to look you up on Wikipedia because it is a long, long list of star-studded credits that are on there that I had no idea about until I started looking into you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. And it's interesting. One, the direction that my life is taking is an awareness around, yes, that's awesome. And I did a lot. And I find in our society today, we are on to the next thing and don't celebrate our path, don't celebrate the experiences we've had and the successes we've had. We just go on to the next thing. And so like you representing that, I really have pride around my journey. I get to see all the people's lives I've touched that have touched mine. And then the other piece is when I was in high school in Raytown, Missouri, actually when I was in middle school, going into high school, I saw the yearbook and in the back, it listed everyone's like all the clubs they were in and all the accolades they had got. And I made it my mission in high school to have the biggest list in the back of the book. It's how I've continued to live my life up until this point. But I realized it was a little bit of a self-worth tactic in that I needed a list of accolades or accomplishments in order to feel worthy and valuable in the world. And I noticed this, I love our topic today. Obviously, I am a stand for women. My vision is peace on earth in our lifetime. I believe it begins with the divine feminine in each of us. Man, woman, whatever you identify as. So many that have broken the glass ceiling and women's lib, and I'm all about it, have we have found ourselves today kind of waking up going, oh, I did all that and that's amazing. And what's next? Like, mm-hmm. I really get to be fulfilled and on purpose. What is my purpose? What's my passion? What's my fire? Sorry, you did not ask me all these questions. You just stirred my pot already, Will. And I also want to say you're one of my favorite people too. I feel your energy and I appreciate you and I thank you. The word that you brought up is evocateur.
Thank you. I was having a hard time with the end, but it sounded really good. So I wanted to make sure I put it in there. So.
Well, actually, my coach, my mentor, Mary Jo Lori, had that term in her bio and it blew my mind. I was like, yes, that's who I aspire to be. And then once I got my PhD in emotional intelligence, I adopted that moniker myself as an evocateur because literally my job, the position I put myself into is a facilitator. I'm a cheerleader for you in your life and what you want, but I really am skilled at asking questions that have you figure it out for yourself. Because I don't have the answer for you. I don't live your life. I don't know what you want. You do. And it's my role at this time to support individuals and groups of people and communities to figure that out for themselves. And that's where the freedom and joy comes from, is when I am in alignment with my truth, with what I want, and it activates my passion and my energy. And it doesn't matter how old or young you are, when you are in alignment, the universe listens. Ding, ding, ding.
Speaking of the long list, I want to go back to that because it is a very, very long list of credits that you have to your credit. Pardon the pun. And the fact that you mentioned—
What you did there, Will.
Thanks for noticing. I really appreciate that. But the fact that you were driven to have the longest list when you're at your middle school, I'm curious because it does kind of touch on the topic a little bit. Do you feel that that had something to do with the fact that you were a woman? Or do you think it was just a personal thing?
I don't think at the time I was conscious of being a woman and that having choice in the matter. For me, what it was, I'm going to tell you this story and it is painful and I have not shared it. So when I was in eighth grade, I auditioned for cheerleading and didn't get it. Mm. And I had a story that it was because I wasn't pretty enough and I was too fat. And so that's what I entered high school with.
Got it.
So I needed to find another way to be valuable in high school. And that is why I chose that mission. Now you are gonna fall off your chair, and this is such a good story of like, it's never the truth, you know what I mean? Of why I didn't make cheerleader. Literally like maybe 5 years ago, my mother told me why I didn't make the cheerleading squad my freshman year, which sent me, mind you, I made it the next year and was the captain and all the things in high school. Every year following that, I was spirit queen and they named an award after me at my high school for crying out. But like, I didn't know that at the time, right? And cut to in my 40s, I find out that I did not make cheerleader because I got in school suspension. One time I got in school suspension. And you want to know why I got in school suspension? Because I was always running my mouth. And I was just a talker, right? I wanted to talk. Blah, 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 blah. And you remember Mad Libs?
Oh, yeah, of course. I spent many times doing Mad Libs back in my station wagon.
Yeah. I wrote a kind of dirty Mad Libs and Richard Wehrmeyer busted me and showed it to the teacher. And so I got in school suspension. And that is why I didn't make it. But for however many years that was, 20 plus years, I had a story that I was not pretty enough and I was too fat. And where else in life do we make up a story that literally shapes our life for decades, and that was not even the reason? It was some stupid other thing that had happened that put you on a different path.
We could talk about that for a very long time because I'm sure we could probably exchange notes on the topic. I think everybody has a story along those lines, myself included, but it kind of touches on where I want to go. And that is the fact that odds are that I'm about to offend a whole lot of people. And I hope that they don't get offended because I don't mean it in any way offensively. But I will say that there's a possibility a lot of male listeners now might suddenly unsubscribe from my show, because I will say this. It has been my contention all along for a very long time that the female energy is by far, far more evolved than the male energy. I've found that to be the case time and time again over the course of my life. People I speak to, things I look into, and it makes sense to me because as we were evolving, the man was the fighter, the tribal had to go out and get food and all that kind of stuff. The women have always been a lot more nurturing, a lot more in touch with the spiritual side of things. And it's just continued to go and it's never changed. Many are the stories where women are being disallowed to join the ranks of male power brokers because of that fear or that jealousy that is so stuck in the male psyche that it has prevented the male energy from evolving to the point where we as a planet really want to go to. So the whole process that you have, the whole goddess process, really intrigues me because, as I mentioned in my intro, and we talked about it before we started recording, I joined a coven a while back of witches.
What does that mean? Tell me what the coven experience was like. I am very curious.
I'm happy to share at a later time, but I have become a Reiki practitioner. I've joined a coven. I have studied out-of-body experiences. I have done past life regression research. I've never been regressed as of yet, though I've been offered it and I do plan on taking advantage of it. But at every step of the way, I find that 3 out of the 5 people in the room are women. So there's got to be something behind this female energy in the spiritual and metaphysical plane.
Amen. You are onto something. You are smart and tapped in and intuitive. And that is your feminine energy. That is the feminine side of you. You can be in a male body and have a feminine essence. We all have masculine and feminine energy in us, and we tilt one way or the other at times. And interestingly, I created Goddess Process and now Woman on Fire for exactly the woman who's in a female body who finds themselves leaning on their masculine and it not serving their relationships or their lives. So this is the basis of my work. I can relate. I am that woman. You know, I have been very driven and successful. I'm a producer by trade. I am an entrepreneur. I am a roll up my sleeves kind of gal and get shit done. And that has not served me romantically. And I didn't understand it until I went through this awakening of embracing my feminine, my vulnerability, tapping into my intuition and creating community and not doing it by myself. And I'll just speak into the masculine, feminine energies. And we need both, right? To survive, we need both and we need each other. And polarity happens when there is masculine and feminine. That's where sexy time happens. So there's always like that. But when it's polarized, that is when we are attracted. If we're neutral, it's kind of like, you know, bumping parts, but not connecting as it's meant to connect. So here's some distinguishing qualities of masculine and feminine energy that can maybe serve your listeners to go, oh, that rings true for me, or I sit more over here. So masculine versus feminine, not male versus female, just the energies. So masculine is purposeful, penetrating, get to the end. It is when it is, it's a little death. It's like, it's getting to the quiet, like get me to the end of this task so I can sit in nothingness. It is singled focused and needs to risk death daily. That is the hunter that is going and killing and providing, bringing sustenance back, protection. So you think of the villages, there is an energy, the tribes and tribal time that the masculine would go out and hunt and kill and bring back the spoils, but they were not allowed back into the camp until they shifted their energy. And they would do a ritual or rite of passage to cross into the circle, back into the community of the women and create the safety, because that's not the same energy you want to be creating community. They get to shift into a more feminine and receiving mode. The female body is literally meant to receive. We have a vagina for receiving. The male body has a penis for penetrating. Literally our bodies are made this way. So there's a really good anatomical way to relate to the energies. And the feminine, think of water. Water is flow. It can be soft. It's running. It's malleable. It moves around things. It engulfs things, but it is also fierce AF. It's carved out mountains. It knocks down towns. It can demolish. It can be Kali destructive, and it wears over time. It wears pathways, and it always finds its way. So it's Mother Nature. This more evolved kind of point of view is that intuition and being tapped into Mother Nature. So in tribal times, the women could hear if something was amiss in the forest, when the seasons were changing, which berries were poisonous or not, when it was the right time to harvest or eat certain fruits or vegetables. And it was their connection to Mother Nature, to the divine feminine, that had them navigate and not kill them off. They would know by colors, by scents, by smell, by intuition, by connection, which was healthy and helpful and right and in alignment. And when things were going like, oh no, we need to move from this land because a locust infestation is coming, or they're just more in tune that way. And they're about win-win. We're about community. We're about coming together. We're about basketing. So we collect a lot of information from a lot of sources. As you know, if you've ever gotten in an argument with a woman, she can bring, or the feminine, she can bring up many, many threads back into play.
Dude. Lots of jokes that come to mind on that.
Yes, to prove that point. And right now we're shifting, I believe, into a more feminine consciousness on the planet. We just went through a very aggressive, masculine competition to the death phase in our society. It's still happening, as I believe the patriarchy disassembles and reassembles. And I'm not saying men can't be in power. It's shifting the energy into what Biden's embodying, in my opinion, at this point, is like, let's just come together and work it out. Like, can we make a win-win? We want to stay on this planet. Here are some of the things we're going to have to do. We have to listen to Mother Nature. We have to respond in proactive ways, because we know the locusts are coming and we need to move, or we need to set ourselves up and we go further together. So let's come together and do that. And that's a very feminine, in the flow energy. I'm not going to fight. I'm not going to kill it off. I'm not penetrating. I am in flow.
So risking the possibility of falling into a political discussion, which we probably don't want to do, it has to be said. There are some people that believe that the female phase that we're entering may be, there's no question it's great, right? The male phase we just went through was hard on our planet, was hard on a lot of different people. And we need the polarity. Now we're moving into the female side of things, which is much more, I guess, relaxed, loving, kind of nurturing. But some people that I could name are stating that we have to also be able to fight back or we'll be bowled over in this context. But I do feel that the country has undergone somewhat of a ravaging over the last several years that now we need to heal from. but we need to be careful not to just heal and not put up defenses so that the problems that we've undergone over the past how many years don't come back to haunt us in a worst way.
So have you ever seen a businesswoman who is also a mom in action?
All the time.
She gets shit done.
Absolutely.
There is nothing relaxed about what phase we're in. And there is nothing relaxed about the feminine in getting things done. It's just done with the whole in mind. It's done with community and win-win. And how I relate to the water, yeah, water can go with the flow and moves around rocks, but water can be destructive. Water can move mountains and has over time. It is sure and steady, but it can be turbulent and destructive. So don't for a second think that the feminine is weak, not effective or impactful or relaxed. Yes, does the feminine get to lean back and receive? Yes, but it also is very effective at getting a lot of things done. The pandemic, a great point, is the Prime Minister of New Zealand, who is a woman, showed us what it can, a nation can be run, a country can be run by a woman, and successfully so, and come through one of the craziest times, clearly in our lifetime, and come out on the other side. So much quicker, so much cleaner, quicker, back to work, back to society, back to being connected as human beings where we really thrive than a lot of the other countries that are not run by the feminine.
Right. So that's a fantastic point, and I'm really glad you made it because I didn't mean to imply otherwise. Now, it brings up a point. How does the male energy find their way to where they need to go to be able to be open to the possibilities that so many women are open to?
Well, I got one right now, I'll tell you right out of the gate. When I meet a man on a growth journey, in fact, I won't date anyone who's not on a growth journey. That is so sexy. Hold me back. I want some of that. What you got cooking over there, mister? So there is nothing sexier than a man working on himself, healing his wounds, showing up for the community in his powerful masculine and being soft and open at times, not always. I'm not saying walk around like a doormat or a pushover, but showing, sharing, talking, and accessing what's actually going on underneath the surface. I frankly think that is the epidemic of why we have mass shootings. If you've noticed, 99% of mass shootings are white men who are suppressed. They are depressed. They're not getting action. I mean, these are facts, actually. I'm not making this stuff up. Please check it out. But they're suppressed because they were taught, dude, suck it up. They don't have an outlet for their anger. And guess what? Men are freaking angry right now, especially now that it's like the world is shifting. Their identity is confused. And where do I go? How do I navigate? I don't understand what's happening. I don't understand how I fit in the world. If I don't have purpose in my masculine, then I am dead. Like, there is no reason for me to be here. The masculine needs to be needed. He needs to be purposeful and he needs to be respected. He needs to be honored, the masculine in all of us, whether you're male or female, but that side of us, when there isn't a vow, my friends at a suicide prevention organization called Hope for the Day, he uses this analogy of a soda bottle, and you shake up a soda bottle. And if you don't open up the tap slowly, and let the fizz out, let the air out, it will explode like the Mentos. Versus if you let it out and you know how to let out your steam, let out your bubbles, let out your frustration, then society works better. And that happens through communication, through safe circles. I recommend a men's circle where you are surrounded by men having the uniquely masculine experience on the planet, so you can release the valve a little bit. Same with women. That's why I created Goddess Process. That is why I have a coven of women coming together. We also use the moon cycles, the new moon and full moon, as tools to reconnect with our inner knowing, to let out what's no longer serving us, and then to recommit into what we are looking to create in the world, what our passion is on the planet, and to go put it into action.
Now, your Goddess Process is exclusively for women. Do you foresee a time when you might open that up to men who are seeking more the feminine connection?
I created Goddess Process for women like me who are having an experience in a woman's body, because that's the experience I've had. And my first goal out of the gate is to support these women, because if more women have this freedom, joy, and alignment with their purpose, then they can spread that out in whatever way calls to them. The tools work for men and women. It's not like it only works for women, but my unique experience is as a woman. And so that's phase one of this, is to free the women who have had the experience like I have, and being in our masculine and it not serving us, it not working in what we actually want to create in our life. I want love in my life. I want intimacy. I want commitment and connection. And when I am in my masculine, I take that away from my masculine partner. And that's not sexy. That's not hot. That's not allowing him to be in his truth. And a lot of women today in our society, it's just something we didn't learn. We didn't learn it. We were busy in our careers and breaking the glass ceiling, which was amazing. And I'm thrilled. And it's awesome. And now we're at a phase where we want to try on something different. So I created this Goddess Process, and the Women on Fire is all based on my signature Spark system, which is S, self-care, P, prosperity, R, relationships, and C, community and contribution.
You stated that perfectly. And in full disclosure, I will say that in an email you sent to me a while back, the fear of missing out is absolutely real. So that's why I asked that question, because no fair, but it makes perfect sense. It really does.
Well, I will say this. So, and I think that's why it's important to be in conscious men gatherings also, because I don't know what you go through as a man. And like I spoke to just a minute ago, there is underlying anger that I feel, but I don't have access to, or other things, hurt, guilt, shame that men have, as do women, but very different ways that that's happened to them, or how they process and experience it. And to be held in the presence of other men is, and in my case, in other women, absolutely transformed my life. I'll give you a quick little story and what had me start this program. I was in a program called Grace, led by my mentor I mentioned earlier, Mary Jo Lori. And she, in the middle of this all women's workshop, there was like 60 women. We would hold counsel, this very sacred process. And the Friday night, my dog of 16 years, Lola J. Lawson, passed away.
Sorry to hear that.
And it was, I've never grieved like that. I haven't had anyone really close to me except my grandparents pass away. And what I realized is this is the closest being I've had in my life. She was 16 and a half years old. This is somebody I slept with every night, you know, I spent every day with. Yeah. And I chose to fully grieve, to receive the love of that community of women. They held me so sacredly, so beautifully, as emotions rolled through me. And because of that, I feel like my grieving process was accelerated. Like I moved through it so much easier and beautifully. I was able to release it, to celebrate her, and for the first time, not feel in competition with women, but feel held by other sisters on the planet. And that healing that I experienced, other women get to have that in their life too.
But I think the trick is to find a group of men that are open to spiritual growth
And that's the harder part of it, because to your point, there's a lot of men who are stuck in their inner challenges, in their inner turmoil. They're not open to things like that. I know when I tell friends that I do this podcast, I get weird looks. So I don't share it often unless I feel comfortable with the person I'm speaking to. So I think you've inspired me. I think I'm going to try to see if I can build a community of men that are looking for spiritual guidance, or spiritual growth is a better word for it, that maybe we can do something like this, because I think I, for one, would certainly benefit from it. And I think a lot of people that are listening right now that happen to be male would probably benefit from it too. So if you are listening to this and you're interested in something like that, I would urge you to please reach out to me. Let's form a club. Let's make it happen. Let's form our own God power. That doesn't sound right. Let me just change. Let me heroes, come up with a name. There we go. Heroes. Yeah. So have you ever considered starting your own podcast? Do you have a podcast right now?
I don't. You know, I'm on Clubhouse every morning at 7 a.m. I host rooms. But this has been you create a safe space and tee up beautiful questions. I'm just going to tell you, you are an evocateur, my friend.
Oh, I'm 100% going to start using that to introduce myself from now on. Thank you for that. No, I appreciate you. It's very nice words that you say, but I do think that people would be willing. I mean, you talk very eloquently. You give out great information. I think people would sit and listen to you for a bit of time. No, I would subscribe to it. So just something to think about. So I know we've been going on for a little bit and we've talked about a whole lot of stuff, really great conversations, but I could talk to you for days without batting an eye. I think probably at this point, I would just say, is there anything you want to leave us with, any message, any last parting words of wisdom that you feel the audience should take away from this?
Yeah, it's transitioning into whatever, whether you're leaving a relationship, transitioning into a relationship, in and out of a career, growing older, maybe kids leaving the house. If you're in any kind of transition in life, I invite you to not do it alone. Look for a community. So I created Goddess Tribe as that community. I teach them things along the way, some of the things we've talked about, definitely pieces of the Spark system. But really, it's a community of women who meet on a weekly basis to check in with what's going on in their life. Am I in alignment? Am I out of alignment? Where do I maybe have emotion around things? What do I get to celebrate, right? Like, what have I created in the world and taking the time to celebrate it? So whether you come join Goddess Tribe, or you have this Conscious Men's Tribe, or if you have a safe, sacred community, then double down in it. I also realize it's always, kind of, you spoke to this, Will, that some of the communities that are around me, whether it's maybe your church, maybe it's your neighborhood community, that you don't feel 100% comfortable sharing what's actually going on with you for fear of being judged or ostracized or who knows what, right? Like, then I invite you to find a group. And now is the best time, because so many of these are happening online, where you can speak your truth. Because if you don't open that bottle cap, it will pop. And that shows up in dis-ease, in disease, in ailments, in anger, in acting out. And you are 100% responsible for 100% of your results. You can take that action.
That's super, super well stated. I know I've missed out a lot on, because I'm not an iPhone guy, so I've missed out on Clubhouse. So there may be things like this already out there. There is, and I just haven't found them yet. So I'm going to try. I'm going to give it a shot, see what happens. So thank you. And just to clarify, the Goddess Tribe is really meant for women.
Goddess Tribe is, women only. Right. Gathering. We have about 100 women in the tribe so far. My new vision is 1,000 goddesses in this tribe to create freedom, connection, and community. It really is. And then we learn new tools along the way. Who couldn't use new tools in their life around abundance, around my health, around my vision, right, around my self-care?
I just didn't want you to be bombarded by a bunch of guys who say, hey, I want to join the tribe, right? Because we're all on the path trying to find our way. And I just want to make sure, clarify, if you're a man, this is not for you. If you're a woman and listening to this, I strongly encourage you to join Amber J's Goddess Tribe because she is awesome. Amber, thank you so much for being on the show. I don't even have the words to thank you enough for coming on. I really appreciate you.
I appreciate you, Will. Thank you for creating this space. It's been a delight. You evoked out of me my flow.
Good.
And as we mentioned at the beginning, I was having an allergy attack. I was not feeling energized. And because of you, I feel like tapped in, tuned in, turned on, and just sharing my truth. So thank you for holding that space.
Well, thanks for being open to sharing your truth, because we appreciate that very much. And thank you, listener, for listening today. If you'd like more information about Goddess Power or Goddess Tribe, or you'd like to connect with Amber J, I'll leave some links in the show notes for you, including the link to her wiki page, because I think it's so impressive. I invite you to take a read at it, because we haven't even touched, on a lot of the unbelievable accomplishments that this goddess has been responsible for. As always, please don't forget to subscribe to the show so you don't miss an episode. Send us a voice message on SpeakPipe. I've left a link to that in the show notes as well. Your voice, you never know, could make an appearance on a future episode. And if you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts, we'd appreciate you throwing us a 5-star rating if you like the show. That's one way that we can get in front of more people. And if you'd like to be on the show, please feel free to join us on Facebook at The Skeptic Metaphysician. The link for that is, you guessed it, also in the notes. Love to be able to share your story with the folks listening in on a weekly basis. So that's all for now. Thanks again for listening in, and we'll see you again on the next episode of The Skeptic Metaphysician. Take care.